Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, good morning, good morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, yes. My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters, and happy to share this morning and lead us towards time around the table. So we look forward to that. I wanted to begin, though, by just saying thank you to Living Waters community. I just continue to deeply appreciate how large-hearted and open-handed this community is. And certainly, some of you were caught up in this during the month of December. How important it is to look back, to look ahead, but also to look back. And I'm just so deeply impressed by some of the wonderful expressions and interactions and exchanges that many of you were so much a part of in the month of December. And I wanted to highlight a few because I think as a community, it's important to celebrate together and to affirm good things, good love, and good deeds. So as I think, I'm not sure what some of your Living Waters community highlights would have been in December, but since I've got the mic and you don't, I get to share mine, so here we go. But it was wonderful as December began to hear some of the alpha news of things that are happening here and in homes and in the prisons, like to see here people coming to Christ for the first time and receiving Bibles in wow, even that. And so many of you served in the gift, which happened here on a Friday night, where this auditorium was full of people and our grounds were full of people that were coming and going. There was more baby strollers here than Toys R Us. I mean, but it was just a beautiful evening where there was good relationships being built and pointing people towards nativity scene. How beautiful. Continuing on in December with hearing our year-end generosity giving. How beautiful. And that's you. That's not others. That's us celebrating, donating, and giving financially to area community ministries. How beautiful. Helping Hands. Joanne was sharing in the middle of the month of how 470 plus hands were busy somewhere out in the community. Some of those would have been a little bit of a repeat, but how absolutely beautiful to be touching lives and thinking about others, right? Christmas Eve, to meet your friends and family. What a beautiful day that was. And then to see Luke the shepherd on the stage. Remember that? And Mike the angel and confused Reuben on the stage. That's just going to be forever, you know. Mike showing just a little bit too much leg that day, you know, just a little, just bordering on, you know. Anyways, you had to be here. But Living Waters, for those who are newer, Living Waters is one church with multiple locations. Right now we have two, one here in Fort Langley and one in Willoughby. And Willoughby had a wonderful Christmas Eve service with Yorkson Middle School is where they meet. And what a... some of you have visited there and been a part of that, and how awesome, right? How awesome it is to be a part of a community that's large-hearted, open-hearted, and open-handed to helping people. And your generosity at the end of this year allows us to forecast a budget for next year, a faith budget for next year, of being able to give away up to 20% of our budget, like just to give it away towards local and provincial, international ministries, global work, global partners, and that's a good position to be in, right? To be interested in helping other people and coming alongside other people and their good works and their good deeds. So we're just so thankful, and thank you for being a part of what I just shared is you. Being busy. So we begin 2019, eyes wide open and hearts wide open, and curious to see about what other neighborhoods and communities we can help. So let's believe God together, right? That further and farther, because people can be helped, and they get helped by the Lord and by the Lord's people. So let's just be wide open as we begin this year. So here we are this morning, wanting to move towards a table setting. The Christian calendar calls us on the other side of Advent to Epiphany. In some traditions, Epiphany is celebrated much more than Advent. And you can find your way to discover that. Advent being a time in December where we anticipate the arrival of Christ. Epiphany, a time to celebrate the arrival of Christ. So anticipate and to welcome or to celebrate the arrival of. Perhaps Advent could be thought of as something that happens in our hearts and our minds as hope rises. Epiphany is something that happens in our world. It's now about someone that's in our lives, someone in our world, someone in our lives that hasn't always been there. And so we make room, Epiphany, we make room for Christ. In some way, Epiphany is a time of learning to get along with Jesus in our world, getting used to Jesus being involved in our lives. So the transition from Advent, anticipation, to welcoming the arrival of is a very good place to start a year. Discovering again Jesus in our world, Jesus in my life, Jesus actively involved in his world and around us, as Luke shared at the beginning of our service. So this morning, we want to keep moving along in Luke's narrative of Jesus' life. So in Luke chapter 2, after Jesus' birth, here we find Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to the temple to be presented. How interesting that one of the first decisions that Mary and Joseph made was to present Jesus back to his heavenly Father, committing to what God had in his mind for his son, a baby dedication. And perhaps that would be a really good picture and pattern to begin a new year with. Jesus, a life being fully given to God and God's purposes, and us following that good example. So let's consider again the story, Luke chapter 2. The young family's arrival at the temple did not go unnoticed by an elderly man named Simeon. When seeing Jesus and the young family arrive, Simeon took the child and blessed Jesus and the family. And he also shared prophetically a word foretelling some of the details and influence Jesus' life would have. One most specifically is in verses 31, 32, "For I have seen your salvation." Here is Simeon holding the child. "I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people, for he is a light to reveal God to the nation." Here's Epiphany. Jesus is now in the world, here to make a difference. Simeon says it this way, "I have seen your salvation." As you study this, you see a past and present tense surface. The present tense, perhaps, is just in the holding of this new young baby. I see Jesus. I experience Jesus. And an appropriate response was, "And I will worship you." And the future tense is, "I will keep on seeing a new way forward because this Jesus is here and here to stay." We need to get used to Jesus being in our world now. And so Simeon committed. He leaned in, very similar to how the shepherds, upon hearing the angels, said, "You need to go find this new child." It's the same type of find and see word. So here Simeon prophesies how Jesus would reveal God to the nations. So things now, once Jesus arrived, that they were going to be different now, because the view now was on reaching not just Simeon and the surrounding friends, but now the view was on reaching further and farther, reaching the nations. So in some way, Epiphany is seeing Jesus for who he is, as I repeat myself, and then getting used to Jesus being in this world, getting used to Jesus in your world, in my life, in my home, and in the midst of my relationships. Jesus is here. Getting used to there being a Christian priority in this world. The priority of seeing all people, all nations, learning of the way of salvation and accepting Jesus as the one who offers this hope. So how appropriate we as a community, as we begin this year, will be saying, God, would you be calling us and sending us to consider new neighborhoods and communities? Because Jesus is here. He's here to stay, and he's here with a purpose, and that is to continue to use his church. So just as we see in Luke chapter 2, we see Simeon receiving, having an epiphany, receiving Christ. There is another lady in verse 38 who appears. Her name is Anna. And she spoke clearly as she observed and received the Christ child. She spoke clearly of Jesus' future earthly walk to the cross. So we see that from the very beginning of the manger, there was a shadow of a cross over it. And here still in the dedication of Jesus, through the words of Simeon and Anna, there is the shadow of the cross over this young child. This earthly walk that Jesus would begin from this point forward, providing salvation for all mankind. Offering salvation by dying on a cross for the forgiveness of sins of all people and to make possible reconciliation with God. So here, through Simeon and Anna, Jesus from those first moments was a man who carried a cross his whole life. So that day in the temple, when Jesus was presented, here he was submitting himself to his Father's plan, the plan of salvation. And by doing so, he picked up his cross and never looked back. And aren't you glad he did? Aren't you glad he did? So that in a few minutes, we'll freely make our way to a table, because that happened back then. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. This table was prepared for us in Luke chapter 2, and even before. So we see Jesus quite early in his public ministry beginning to share what was on his mind as someone who, from the first words and first actions of the family, spoke and served as a cross-bearing Jesus. So that image truly needs to be in our minds as we consider the early and adult life of Jesus. He was a cross-bearing Jesus. And that began to be explained in Luke chapter 9, where he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things," he said. So here again, this is some of his first teaching, describing the walk to the cross. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on that third day, he'll be raised from the dead. Then he said to the crowd, "If any one of you wants to be my follower, three things: you must give up your own way, you must take up your cross daily, and you must follow me." So in Jesus, we find a good example to follow from infancy to adulthood. And here, he calls his followers to his example and to an epiphany of discovering a whole new way to think about life on earth. And by sharing this, I would hesitate if anyone to think that I figured this out. We learn this together. But notice the three ideas that Jesus said about epiphany and walking this out very practically, but yet with stakes being very, very high. The first idea that Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, he says you must give up your own way. To give up. To forget oneself. To lose sight of oneself and lose sight of one's own interests. Or to give up an acquaintance or connection with something that is old for the sake of something that is new. You must give up your own way. That's hard. That's hard. Give up your own way. When Julie and I were first married, we got a puppy, a six-week-old puppy. We have a dog now that I've told you in the past is the most handsome dog, but we also had another dog at a certain time, reaching back right now, and we took Chloe, which we named our six-week-old dog, to puppy school. Anybody been to puppy school? Oh, yeah. Even if you don't have a puppy, you need to go to puppy school. You just got to figure out how to get there because it's the best. Here you have dysfunctional parents of dogs and dysfunctional puppies, and it's just a bunch of dysfunction. At least that's my interpretation. And here you've got, you know, these puppy owners who think their dog's adorable, but then there's this man or lady that begins to tell you that your dog needs to get their act together. And it hits you hard, like hit me hard. And so you begin over the course of many weeks to teach your dog how to have, how to get along in life with a master. So you start on leash and then you move to off leash if you're good. And then the big idea is that your dog will eventually walk behind you off leash, behind you just slightly, nose at the heel and always looking up at you, like as if that's ever going to happen, right? But that's the goal. That's why you pay all that money. There was one little tiny pit bull that got it right, but everybody else didn't back in the day. And the best part of puppy school is that last 10 minutes when they have puppy play. And so this is where everybody can relax and go back to why you have a dog in the first place, and that is to see your dog interact with 20 other dogs. And anyways, the whole idea of puppy school is getting used to your puppy having someone else give them direction. Obedience school for the sake of safety. So here I'm those lessons are still fresh in my mind. For the sake of safety, security, and good reward in the field of the association of family. I guess I learned something. I never translated to Duke these days, but getting used to having someone else give direction. And in some way, when Jesus in Luke chapter 9 was speaking with his disciples, he was in some way introducing some of these very similar ideas. Christianity is all about this epiphany that says yes. Getting used to Jesus in my world, giving me direction, allowing Jesus to have influence in every area of my life. So getting caught up in this new narrative, rather than being the star in the show, having Jesus be the star of the show. So Jesus said, you must give up your own way. Very countercultural, isn't it? Very countercultural. Culture says you need to get to know yourself. Be the best that you can be. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, that's not the message. Christianity says it's not about a better you. It's about a transformed you, right? It's not about you getting your act together. It's about getting to know Jesus so his act can be played out through your life. So countercultural. That's why a lot of people don't go here. So the early disciples were very strategically referred to as followers of the way, referencing a new way, a new world order. It wouldn't be about their way, it'd be about his way. The second thing Jesus says was, give up your own way. And then Jesus says, you need to take up your cross daily. Pick up your cross. So again, this is, don't pick up Christ's cross. You've got to pick up your cross. Dave, you have to pick up your cross. So what is, we benefit from Jesus' cross. We worship at the foot of Jesus' cross for many good reasons. We're going to eat from a table provided because of Christ's cross. But in this call, Jesus is not talking about his cross. He's talking about your cross, my cross. Put a name on it. And having these crosses getting picked up every day. So what is this all about? Well, let's begin perhaps with what Jesus didn't mean. Many people interpret a cross as someone's personal burdens that they must carry as they sojourn in this terrible life. For example, the cross of a strained relationship or a thankless job. The cross of a physical illness saying, this is the cross that I must carry. Such an interpretation perhaps is not what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross and follow me. When Jesus carried his cross up Golgotha to be crucified, no one was thinking of the cross as symbolic of a burden to carry. To a person in the first century, the cross meant one thing and one thing only, and that was death by the most painful and humiliating means any human being could ever develop, and that was the cross. So now, 2,000 years later, Christians sometimes use the cross as a cherished symbol of atonement, forgiveness, grace, and love, and they beautify it. But in Jesus' day, the cross represented nothing less than torture and death. Jesus says, my followers will be cross-bearing. Friends, discipleship means and demands sacrifice. Really does. And Jesus, from his teaching all through the Gospels, he never hid that cost. So therefore, he says, take up your cross daily. It means being willing, and again, so countercultural, means being willing to die to self in order to have Christ alive within us. It's countercultural. This goes against every personal instinct that I have, and perhaps you have as well. Picking up a cross. Picking up your cross. It's going to look different for every one of us because we're all moving along in different ways in our spiritual pilgrimage. But the question that would come for all of us, especially as we begin a new year, is this question perhaps, what does it mean for me to serve Jesus today? What does it mean? What does it truly mean? And how will you and I carry our crosses into a classroom, to work, into our homes, onto the field with a paintbrush or a shovel in our hands? How will you carry your cross? And that's good discipleship work for this year. It really is. It's not about me, it's about him. And what does it mean for me to carry a cross? 8 or 9 months ago, I started with the advice of a friend to start a daily journaling exercise, and I do my best. I do my best. And the thought was to get some journaling going around 3 questions. And so I've been, as my journalist, kind of what I've asked myself 3 questions. And it was this. Yesterday was good because. Yesterday could have been better if. And today will be good if. Three questions. They're very simple questions. And I've had some fun processing those three questions. And if you want to look, it's in here. I must say, as I've been giving some thought to Jesus's call to Epiphany at the beginning of this year, I must say that I've been challenged as I review some of my highlights and my lowlights. I've been challenged with the thought of needing to get these three ideas into my journal. Perhaps my journal needs to breed. Today was good because I gave up my own way. And yesterday would have been better if I'd picked up my cross. And tomorrow or today will be good if I follow Jesus' example. In private and in public. So I'm not sure how you're going to walk this out, but I encourage you to walk it out, because I think it gets us to the best places. And finally, Jesus says here, and follow me. Follow me. Give up your way. Take up your cross and follow me. Following will be next to impossible until there's a definite change in name of who the tour director is, who the cruise director is, or who the storyteller is. So that is why Jesus says, give up your way, take up your cross, and then perhaps you'll be able to follow me. Interesting order. Psalm 84 says, blessed are those whose strength who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. See, Epiphany allows us time to reflect on what it means to welcome God, for He's here. It reminds us God is in the room. God is in my life. God is in my world. I need to get used to it. I need to move over so He can move forward. I need to make room because I'm taking up too much room. God is here, and He's here to stay. And Epiphany calls us to turn our attention to that God who is here and near. So could this be the most exciting thing about this new year? The epiphany of discovering God at work in His world today and joining in. For we don't have to create the work of God. We've got to free ourselves up in a way that helps us to discover it and get on board. And perhaps Jesus gave us some good advice on how best to do that. Give up your own way, take up your cross, and then you'll be able to follow me. Getting involved in what God is up to in His world. Living in the midst of God's narrative, not our own narrative, while the hope of eternity is rising in our hearts. I'm going to invite the worship team to join me on the platform. So we come at the beginning of this year. Jesus was presented in the temple as perhaps a first fruit, as a first beginning that certainly showed intention and direction. So perhaps today we would come as a community to show our intention and our direction. We come as worshipers. We also would potentially come as willing followers of a new way. Thankful, so thankful for the cross that Jesus carried so well. He carried His cross that eventually saw Him suspended as a Savior between heaven and hell. The cross that Jesus died on fulfilled the requirements of the law so that you and I can be reconciled to God and have grace for this spiritual pilgrimage that we're still on. So we come to the table with joy in our hearts. But perhaps today we would also come knowing that in our partaking of the emblems, we're also coming knowing that as we pick up the emblem, we are picking up our cross. We are giving up our way. We are picking up our cross. And we are committing ourselves to following Him this year. What a good way to start a year. Perhaps you started last year this way. And you would say, what a good year 2018 was. Because I started my year well. I was able to finish well. But certainly this Sunday is certainly a Sunday of new beginnings. So if you're newer to Living Waters Community, we serve our emblems from the front of the auditorium. In just a moment, we'll stand and we just one by one kind of make our way. It takes a little while. It's okay. We wait for each other. It's good for us. And we kind of make our way to the front and we grab our emblems. There's a cracker to pick up. It represents Jesus's broken body. I'm sure glad he was punished so I wouldn't have to be. We pick up a cup of juice, symbolic of Jesus' shed blood. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness of sins. I'm so glad that his blood was shed for my forgiveness. But we come today again thinking about not just Christ's cross, but our cross that we pick up. Our worship team is going to lead us in a song called New Wine. And you'll notice the theme of New Wine certainly moves us to our commitment. It certainly highlights Jesus' commitment, absolutely, but it certainly highlights Christ's interest that we would make further commitments to Him. And this new wine, this new life, this new way of walking out this coming year. So I want to invite you to stand and prepare to come. So Jesus, today, we gather under the shadow of the cross, your cross. We're reminded today through your good dedication that you are a good cross-bearing Savior. And we benefit so richly from that today. This morning we hear your call to discipleship, to give up our way. We hear your call to pick up our cross. We hear your call to follow you. So we would come humbly, but yet willingly. We come reverently, but yet expectantly. Opening our hearts wide open so that you can create this wonderful epiphany today within our hearts and lives. That you've got good things on your mind for us this year. Certainly that we don't want to miss out on those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.